Promote Slug at community events all summer long as a member of our marketing team. Head to slugmag.com/opportunities to apply today.
Shh, are you listening? This is Slug Soundwaves. Hi, I'm Deborah Fotheringham. I'm a singer-songwriter here in Utah. I just released my third studio album, The Darkness and the Sun. It was produced by Scott Wiley. We recorded it at June Audio Recording Studios in Provo, Utah. You can find my album on any major media sites like iTunes or Spotify, or by searching my name, Deborah Fotheringham, which is spelled DebraFotheringham. I grew up in American Fork, Utah. Yeah, one nice thing about growing up in my household was both my parents were musical. My mom also played the saxophone in college. But they never really forced us to be musical. I mean, we had to take an instrument of some kind. Most of my siblings started on piano, but for some reason I didn't want to play piano, which I regret now. But yeah, we all just kind of, those of us who were interested in it, kept going, and those of us who weren't were allowed to, you know, do whatever else they were interested in, and it was just kind of up to us if it was something we gravitated towards, and that was, I think, probably the best way to go. The response for The Darkness and the Sun has been surprisingly, overwhelmingly positive. I mean, I wasn't expecting anything. I was a little apprehensive about what it was going to be, and I didn't really want to know what other people thought of it, because it felt so good to make it. It felt so honest and true that I just wanted it to exist. And so I made it, and the icing on the cake was that people seemed to really like it, which is very satisfying. And I released the record on October 6th, and I did a release show at the Post Theater in Salt Lake. And I had most of the players who played on the record there playing in my band, and we played the whole record through with a bunch of covers and a few other songs. And I was super nervous for the show. Actually more nervous for the talking than the singing, just because I'm kind of an introvert and it kind of terrifies me to speak in public. But for some reason, singing in public is just fine. I don't know. Don't ask. So yeah, it went really well, and I kind of thought it was weird and awkward, but I think everyone thinks that of themselves. But all the feedback that I got from it was that it was really a great show, and so that was awesome. I decided to do a Kickstarter for this project. I went into it knowing that I was probably going to do a Kickstarter, but I wanted to fund as much of it myself as I could. But part of the big reason that I wanted to do a Kickstarter was because I feel like people don't really want to buy records right now. They'd rather stream everything. And so I feel like the only way that people really are still interested in buying records, if there's like an altruistic side of it, like I'm helping this person make this record. So maybe that's kind of calculating, but my experience shows that it's true, that people are willing to help out when they feel like they're helping out, rather than like, oh, this record was just released. I can buy it, or I can go on Spotify and stream it. And so, yeah. I was super nervous about doing the Kickstarter because I wasn't sure anyone besides like my mom would give me money. And so the nerves turned to like this super overwhelming feeling of support when I saw all the people supporting the Kickstarter and posting about it. And yeah, that actually was super gratifying as well, to see how much support I got through that. And I was really appreciative of everyone that pre-bought a record. It was awesome. I don't think I was trying to go for a certain Americana sound when I wrote the songs. I think it was just kind of influenced by what I've been listening to. I did consciously want to do simpler songs with simpler structures and simpler chords, and a lot of that was influenced by classic country and Americana songs, because some of those songs are so powerful and they're like three chords, but the way they're structured and the way the lyrics are structured, they can be really powerful songs. And I wanted to kind of channel that a little bit. And so My song White Bird is definitely maybe the most Americana sounding song on the record. As we were recording it, there were a couple ways we could have gone that Scott and I talked about in production. We could have gone like straight Americana country sound, but we kind of wanted it to feel contemporary. And so we made a few production choices that I think helped it achieve that sound, which was we used some synths in it. And Scott used this technique where we did two separate takes back to back of the song, and he panned each take into the speakers. So it sounds like I'm doubling, my vocal is doubled, and it is, but it's two separate takes, which is kind of interesting because if you listen closely, there's like differences in the way I pronounce things and the way I play things. That lent it kind of a cool Elliott Smith kind of sound, which I was kind of skeptical of at first, but I really grew to love it. Yeah, we made the choice to do that panned vocal technique because Scott had worked with Elliott Smith in LA, and they'd used that technique before, and he thought it would work with this song. I was kind of hesitant at first about it, but eventually it grew on me, and I really love the way it sounds now. So I stopped writing songs for a long time, probably like 4 years or so. There were a few reasons. One of the reasons was that I just kind of got burned out of self-promoting. And another was I had gotten some critical feedback from professionals that I admired. And instead of like taking it in and trying to make myself better, I just got down on myself. And so it took a while for me to want to write again. The songs weren't percolating in that time, and maybe they were in my head subconsciously, but about a year ago, I just decided I was gonna start writing again. And part of the reason was I read this article in the New York Times about Maria Bamford, who is one of my favorite comedians, and she has bipolar 2, and it makes it very difficult for her to live her life in a lot of ways. But she has this mantra that she repeats to herself over and over, which is simply do the work. Reading that, I mean, it's a very simple thing, but it really hit me hard. Just the idea that, like, if you want to be a professional at this, you got to do the work. And so I started writing every morning. Not songs, but I'd just get up in the morning and I'd start writing stream of consciousness stuff or kind of journaly type stuff. And it really started getting my brain working like a writer every morning. And so that the things I saw or the experiences I had during the day, I could take them in with a writer's brain. And so that was one big thing that was really inspiring to me. Another was that my friend Ryan Tanner, who is a singer-songwriter and a good friend, he wrote and recorded an album in 2 weeks and put it out last November or August, I think. And it was one of the most beautiful masterpieces that I'd ever heard. And it was really inspiring to me. And I wanted to create something of my own that I felt was an honest and true part of me. And so those were two big influences that made me want to start writing again. I've been a member of the Lower Lights since 2009, which was the start of the Lower Lights. Scott Wiley was kind of the central figure that sort of brought people in for the project, and I'd worked with Scott on several little projects here and there, and so he invited me to be a part of it. And it's been an awesome part of my life ever since. I love singing and playing with the Lower Lights. Our Christmas concerts, we never meant to become a Christmas band, but somehow just with scheduling, it's so hard to schedule like 25 people's schedules to do shows. We do the Christmas shows every year. We've been doing them at Kingsbury Hall for the past 3 years, and we are doing them again this December, the first week of December, and I'm pretty excited about it. It's not often as a musician that you get to play for a sold-out show at a beautiful theater, so yeah, it's been an amazing thing for me. You can get tickets by going to thelowerlights.com. I love Christmas music. I unabashedly love Christmas music. It's It's probably part of the nostalgia and that feeling of like comfort that you get around Christmas time when, like, for a week every year, your family decides that they're all going to get along and it's going to be amazing. There were some kind of unexpected events that happened while we were recording. I think that it always kind of happens if you have an open mind when you're in the studio. I love to surround myself with people who I respect as musicians, who I know have great ideas, because it will always only make your project better if you have those kind of people around you. And there were a couple things. One was on White Bird. The song really needed an upright bass, but we didn't have an upright bass player there. And so we started kind of experimenting with some like sub-bass synths. And it's kind of unexpected, but really cool. It comes in on the choruses. And it's kind of subtle, but I really love how it turned out. And also there was a time where Paul Jacobson, who was there for most of the recording, he came up with this idea for this backing vocal part that was kind of unexpected, kind of like retro-y sounding, and we ended up recording that and putting it on there. It's a little unexpected, but I love it. Some albums that I have been listening to a lot that probably influenced my record are probably Beck's Morning Phase album. I listened to that record so much. Specifically, I kind of was trying to channel Hard as a Drum when we were doing the production of Stranger in a Strange Land. I kind of wanted that like thump heartbeat sound that he gets in that song. And also I listened a ton to Sarah Watkins' album that came out in 2016. It's so good, such a great record. I don't have a band that I play with regularly, but some of the people who played on the record, I asked Aaron Anderson to play drums. He plays with Fictionists and a few other bands. I've worked with him on some side projects, and I just think he's such a talented drummer, so tasteful and creative. And I also had Paul Jacobson come play. He is like the idea guy. You're worried about not having cool ideas. Paul is the guy you want in there with you, and probably the person who is most responsible for this record coming to light or being made is Ryan Tanner. He was my sounding board. Like, as I was writing songs, I'd send him a song and be like, please tell me if this is terrible. And he was super supportive and just a really important mentor for me while I was making this project. And he was there supporting me through every step of the way. He did all the photography and graphic design and played all the piano on the record. And this record definitely wouldn't exist without Ryan Tanner. And also Mark Smith, M. Horton Smith, was there. He played a lot of different instruments. Marcus Bentley was there. He also played a lot of different instruments. Dylan Shore played a lot of the steel on the record. And Scott played a lot of different instruments on the record as well. I had some people do some overdubs, like Dustin Christensen does some vocals. Russ Dixon does some vocals. Nicole Pinnell played cello on a song. Ryan Tilby played upright later on White Bird. I hope I didn't leave anybody out. I used to have this aversion to writing love songs. I think that was just like an immature person's inability to look at life. So now I don't have any subject that's taboo. I want to explore everything and anything that interests me and that I feel like I want to write about. And so, yeah, there's some love songs on this record. Specifically, Odd-Shaped Pieces is a love song I wrote for my husband. There's some love songs I wrote that are about other people, but from a first-person perspective. And so, yeah, I'm just interested in exploring any theme in life that piques my interest and that I want to write about. So this song is called White Bird. It was written because I was out walking by this pond near my house, and I noticed there was this bird that was circling and circling and circling. It was a tern, and it would occasionally, like once every hour, it would dive down and maybe catch a fish, but I was kind of inspired by that idea of circling and how sometimes in life we're just circling and it feels like we're going nowhere, but I mean, we're staying afloat. And sometimes you just have to, it's just an act of bravery just to do that until you find a reason for hope. And that's what this song is about. You can find me singing with the Lorelights this Christmas at Kingsbury Hall, or I have some solo gigs coming up. I'm playing at the A-Frame Concert Series in Provo in January. I'm also playing a non-Lower Lights Christmas show at Pale Horse Sound. You can find information for that on any of my social media sites, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or going to my website, deborahfotheringham.com.
Connecting community through remarkable music and positive social change. Listen today, 90.9 FM.